Hola, bienvenidos a Confessions of a Curious Ear, el podcast donde exploramos el mundo a través de historias, Spanglish y sarcasmo. Mi nombre es Laura Matías y hoy vamos a hablar sobre Looking for Alaska o Buscando Alaska del escritor John Green. Vamos a empezar durante un par de semanas, vamos a estar teniendo como un pequeño maratón de John Green. Vamos a estar leyendo los libros, viendo las películas o series, comparándolos. It's gonna be great. We're gonna have a lot of fun. Solamente voy a hacer lo de 6 de sus libros porque, I have zero interest in reading Will Grayson, y Let It Snow. So, sorry, but, I just do not have the interest. Los libros que vamos a estar viendo van a ser Looking for Alaska, Paper Towns, An Abundance of Catherines, The Fault in Our Stars, Turtles All the Way Down, and The Anthropocene Reviewed. Y bueno, en películas y series, bueno, Looking for Alaska, the series, Paper Towns, the movie, The Fault in Our Stars, the movie, and maybe, just maybe, The Anthropocene Reviewed podcast, maybe. We haven't decided on that yet. Pero sí, John Green, he's one of my favorite authors ever. Como que yo he consumido tanto contenido de él, no solamente de sus libros, su canal de YouTube, los Blog Brothers con su hermano Hank, Crash Course. I've watched a lot of his speeches, love his podcast con su hermano Dear Hank and John, The Anthropocene Reviewed podcast. I mean, cualquier contenido that has John Green's name, there's a high chance that I may consume it. I mean, I just really, really like him. Así que comencemos primero con Looking for Alaska. Voy a estar haciendo los libros en orden cronológico y Looking for Alaska was his first novel. Es un YA fiction, young adult fiction, publicado en el 2005. Está ambientada en Alabama. Trata sobre este muchacho que se llama Miles, pero le dicen Pudge. Y él como que se siente insatisfecho en su escuela, así que lo mandan a un boarding school, a un internado donde antes iba su papá. Y allá hace amigos por primera vez. Está viviendo estas aventuras con este grupo de amigos. And he's learning so much. And he's, you know, having the time of his life. And yeah, basically the book talks about that and it's really great. Este es mi favorite John Green book. I mean, cuando la primera vez que lo leí, it was like my second favorite, pero ahora que lo releo, it's my favorite. I give it 5 stars. Ahora que lo leí otra vez, it's even better than I remember. I felt like I understood the characters better this time around and the characters are great. This book es uno de los libros más quotable out there. It has so many awesome quotes. Also, I noticed también that it has a lot of dark academia vibes, which recently, si me siguen en Instagram, you've seen that I'm recently been a little bit obsessed with dark academia. Ahora, a common complaint about this book, is it pretentious? Yes, but here's the thing, I don't care. It ain't harming anybody. I mean, come on, I'm a little bit pretentious. I mean, when you have a book podcast, you gotta be a little pretentious, come on. Yeah, obviously the characters, no normal teenagers speak like this, obviously, but I don't care. This is fiction. I really like how they speak. I don't know. It makes things more interesting, I feel like. It goes with the vibe of the dark academia that I have in my head of this book. And besides, they got a lot of smart jokes. And as a person who used to be a teenager who did a lot of smart jokes and nobody understood, I feel validated. También dejaré en la descripción algunos videos de Blog Brothers, que bueno, es el canal de YouTube donde John Green y su hermano Hank Green hacen videos back and forth entre ellos, and it's really cool. I highly recommend this YouTube channel. It's really great. Y voy a incluir algunos links de videos where he talks about el libro Looking for Alaska. And him talking about it and his feelings about it throughout the years. It's really cool. I hope you enjoy them. Así que sí, Looking for Alaska, de John Green. Vaya a leerlo, porque vamos a pasar a la sección de los spoilers. Así que nos vemos cuando termine de leerlo. Bye. Okay, so, como ya mencionamos, el libro básicamente Pudge llega a este internado que se llama Culver Creek y ahí conoce a su grupo de amigos. Primero está su compañero de cuarto que se llama Chip, pero dicen el coronel, I don't know how to pronounce it, le diré el coronel, because not gonna lie to you, I don't know how to pronounce that in English, or well, I do know, but it would sound ugly, so lo llamaremos el coronel for those purposes. Y sí, el coronel, he's probably one of my favorite characters. He's like really funny and really smart. And yeah, I feel like he's a good friend to Miles. And yeah, I really like the colonel. He's my favorite character. Luego está Alaska Young, hence the title. And yeah, she's like the girl of the group. She's like very feminist. She's like loves doing pranks and mischief. She drinks and smokes and, you know, she's very hedonistic in that sense. Luego está Takumi. He's this Japanese guy. Él es como que el ojo en el cielo. He knows everybody's business. Él se sabe todos los chismes, all that stuff. También está The Eagle, que es el superintendent, que siempre los está vigilando. Ellos solo tienen que cuidarse de que The Eagle no se entere about their many pranks and their many things that they do. Está Lara, that is this Romanian girl, que tiene un crush en Miles, and Miles kind of has a crush on her, give or take, I don't know. Y también están los Weekday Warriors, que son como que los riquitos de la escuela. The Colonel, Alaska y Takumi, y por ende Miles también, tienen como que esta guerra declarada entre ellos de bromas y pranks. Because yeah, they really hate each other, they just really do. Al principio le hacen estas bromas a Miles porque, oh, you're friends with the Colonel. Either you choose his side or our side. And he's like, well, I don't want to choose his side. And they're like, okay, fine, since you choose el Coronel. They try to almost drown him on a lake. And eso hace que el Colonel de Alaska se enoje. So they retaliate with another prank. And, you know, it's basically going back and forth in all this. And, yeah, the pranks are kind of funny and really ingenious. Yo no puedo. Yo soy fatal en esto de las bromas. If you ask me, Laura, let's do a prank, I'm just going to be like, okay, I provide the labor. You do the intellectual work. Because when it comes to thinking about pranks, nada, seca, nada. No se me ocurre ninguna, like, prank that's worthy. Y algo que me gusta de este libro es que, bueno, Miles es el narrador, and we see everything through his perspective. Y algo que me gusta es that, algo que siento que hace que este mundo se sienta más real, is because there are so many things that Miles doesn't know. It's not like the side character, porque tú sabes que hay veces en los que los side characters, their lives are like centered around the protagonist, and everything has to do with him. He's so important to them. Y no me interpretes, they do care about Miles and everything, but they got lives outside of Miles. There are things going on in the background that Miles no sabe que pasaron, or he wasn't there to see, or that he finds out about them later. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that he's not aware of. And I like that. That como ese sense de que, yeah, the side characters do have a life outside of Miles. Okay, something else, otra cosa muy importante es que Miles, he's kind of like, not in love, but let's be real, kind of infatuated with Alaska. He sees her as this wild, mysterious girl, and he falls for her. Pero she has a boyfriend. El coronel le dice that it's not a good idea because Alaska, it's kind of like a lot. She's one of those girls that it's a lot. Él cree que they wouldn't be a good pairing. Y Alaska, it's kind of like, como que super vago, whether or not she also likes Miles. You see, Miles dates Lara, Lara really likes Miles, and Miles kind of likes Lara, but he's confused because he also likes Alaska, and Lara, like, cuts on to this, and she feels really bad. And, y entre todo lo que está pasando, llega una noche en la que ellos están como que bebiendo en su habitación, and they're having a good time, or why not. Alaska, como que en la madrugada, de repente, she starts crying and goes crazy, being like, oh my god, I forgot something, oh my god, I can't believe that I forgot this. Así que, even though she's drunk, ella dice que se va a ir del campus, se va a ir manejando. El coronel y Miles como que tratan de preguntarle, hey, don't, como que, what's up, what's going on? Y ella solamente les dice que tiene que irse, y ellos, okay, they just help her leave campus. They didn't really ask her or try to stop her, they just, okay, I guess we'll just help you, I guess. Pero al día siguiente ellos se enteran de que Alaska Young died in a car accident. Y Miles y el coronel, they feel really guilty because they could have stopped her, but they didn't because they didn't thought nothing bad was going to happen to her. And they're really sad because their friend is dead and they feel horrible and whatnot. Y como que we see a lot of their grief and how they're trying to cope with this. Y también están como que trying to solve whether or not Alaska died of an accident or whether she committed suicide, and trying to figure out, okay, what was that thing that she forgot? Why did she leave? Why was she such in a hurry? Y después de mucha investigación, they find out that, oh, it was because era el aniversario de la muerte de su madre, and she was supposed to go to her grave, a dejarle unas flores, but she forgot, that's why she was in such a hurry. But they still don't know for sure if it was an accident or she committed suicide because she felt so guilty forgetting about her mom's death. Pero sí, they start to cope and, you know, move on from their death with Alaska. They try to sanar su grief. And yeah, that's pretty much how the book ends. Ahora, several things. First of all, many great quotes. Love them all. Really great. Pero uno de esos quotes that I didn't, que no me di cuenta the first time I read the book, because I wasn't a nerd fighter, is this one. Hank is the star of the basketball team at Culver Creek High School. A senior who played power forward despite being 5'8", Hank's primary claim to campus fame, I already knew, was that he always had weed. And the colonel told me that for 4 years, Hank started every game without once playing sober. If you know, you know. Something else that I wanted to mention. Alaska made me want to read The General in His Labyrinth, de Gabriel García Márquez. She is her favorite book. She quotes it. Y bueno, he leído mucho Gabriel García Márquez. He's one also author that I really like. No recuerdo haber visto este libro, The General in His Labyrinth. Nunca lo había... Creo que sí lo había escuchado, but maybe no le presté atención. I mean, Gabriel García Márquez has a lot of books, okay? Alaska loves it so much, and I just thought, like, huh, maybe I should read it. So yeah, I bought the book. And yeah, maybe one day I have an episodio talking about it, but who knows? Ahora, something that I really wanted to talk about, and es una conversación que sale no solamente con Looking for Alaska, but every John Green book ever, y es este. Is blank female character a manic pixie dream girl? Now, you are probably wondering, what is a manic pixie dream girl? Bueno, el término manic pixie dream girl fue creado por el film critic Nathan Rabin después de ver la película Elizabeth Town del 2005. Protagonizada por Kirsten Dunst, él decía que el personaje de esa actriz, Elizabeth, era un Manic Pixie Dream Girl. ¿Y qué es un Manic Pixie Dream Girl? A Manic Pixie Dream Girl is depicted as a whimsical, quirky, sometimes eccentric, fantasy woman who saves the male protagonist from himself. She usually aids in his transformation without ever showing any real agency of her own. Okay, esa definicioncita, guárdesela en la mente porque durante este maratón de los libros de John Green y de su movie adaptations, vamos a estar refiriéndonos mucho a Manic Pixie Dream Girl, and I kind of wanna tomar estos characters that they get accused of being Manic Pixie Dream Girls. Take a look of, okay, are they truly Manic Pixie Dream Girls, or is there more to it? John Green himself como que ha ido en contra de este término, ha ido como que defendiendo de que no, sus characters are not Manic Pixie Dream Girls por X o tal razón. Y también de Manic Pixie Dream Girl trope es como que highly debated because, oh, is it accurate? Is it sexist? Porque básicamente people sometimes use it para básicamente catalogar any female character that's quirky or fun or different as a Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Which is kind of a problem because, okay, that means that a woman cannot have niche interests or she can't be quirky or she can't be different in any way without being accused with this kind of sexist label. So yeah, I kind of a debate on it. Voy a poner en la descripción un video de The Take where they lo explican más fully. Ahora, volviendo al tema de Alaska, is she a Manic Pixie Dream Girl? I believe no. I don't think so. Voy a leer este extracto de la página tvtropes.com que creo que lo explican muy bien, el personaje de Alaska, el análisis, y dice así. Alaska Young is a deconstructed character archetype of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl, told through the lens of someone who sees her as such. Through Miles, alias Pudge's, eyes, Alaska is a goddess, but she repeatedly shows warning signs of emotional instability and a dark and troubled past that he ignores due to it not fitting into his idealized image of her. She calls him out on this too, after an emotional meltdown at the end of Thanksgiving break, pointing out to him that he likes the sexy, hard-drinking party girl side of her, and not the crazy, stolen bitch she sees herself as. The points only driven in further by everything that Pudge discovers in the after section of the book, mainly that the self-destructive behaviors that Pudge and the others liked and encouraged in her led to her death. So yeah, creo que la razón por la que traje este extracto es porque lo describen tan bien my feelings about Alaska. I don't think she's a manic pixie dream girl. I mean, yeah, she was quirky and different. I mean, she had this life library. She was this party girl with a mysterious side to her. She was unpredictable and she was a hurricane when Miles was a drizzle and whatnot. Yeah, sure. But ella no estaba como que set out a cambiar el mundo de Miles. In fact, there are sometimes she's really mean to Miles, and she is just doing her own thing. Y yo creo que Miles not only changes because of only Alaska, pero también por the Coronel and the pranks and his experience in the school as a whole. Así es como yo lo interpreto. And I feel like also Alaska would be, she also falls into the trope, I feel like, of the sad Tumblr girl, always talking about death and being very edgy and whatnot and drinking a lot. Ahora, hablando de Alaska, I am fascinated by Alaska, truly. I just love talking about her. And I have a theory about Alaska, okay? And it's kind of out there. It's kind of crazy. But I want you to bear with me. I want you to listen. And then you can, I don't know, throw stones at me or whatever. And my theory is this. I think that Alaska Young from Looking for Alaska is a Loki variant. Let me explain myself. Okay, si usted no ha visto el show Loki in Disney Plus, el show de Marvel, yeah, you should probably watch it and then come back skip this section. Porque voy a estar hablando in detail about that show and explain myself, okay? So, si no has visto ese show, you totally should. It's a really good show. You should totally watch it. Although, yeah, if you're not caught up in your Marvel lore, I don't know how much you're gonna understand. But I highly, highly recommend it. Spoilers for Loki in 3, 2, 1... Okay, let's go. Para el que need a little refresher, Loki, la serie, a Marvel production following Loki Lofgren, the god of mischief, el hermano de Thor. Después de en Endgame, mientras los Avengers están como que yendo al pasado a conseguir las piedras de Infinity Stone so that they can snap everybody back. En el proceso, 2012 Loki from the movie Avengers consigue el Tesseract and uses it to irse y escapar. And he goes to this desert para esconderse. Pero cuando lo hace, llegan estos uniformados from de un portal and they arrest him. They're the TVA. Es una comisión, a company, que está fuera del tiempo, que ellos se encargan de, you know, de asegurarse de que el timeline pase como tenga que ser. They erase or prune anomalies. And they make sure that whatever has to happen, happens, right? And they destroy anything that doesn't. Y bueno, Loki getting the Tesseract and escaping in 2012 Avengers is not something that's supposed to happen. Así que a este Loki lo van a prune so that no se cree como que un desastre en el multiverse, right? Y durante este show vemos como que, there are tons of multiverses and there has been ton of Loki variants. Variants are basically como que una misma persona en diferentes universos. Por ejemplo, yo soy Laura, pero en otro multiverso hay otra Laura que es yo, pero ella es diferente porque en su multiverso las cosas se dieron diferentes y ella es diferente a mí. Y hay diversas Lauras. There's a lot of Laura variants throughout the multiverse que son yo, pero también son diferentes a mí. You know what I mean? Yeah, multiverse is kind of wacky like that, you know? Y Loki. In the show Loki, básicamente, un Loki variant is like wreaking havoc. Así que they try to use Avengers Loki, Loki Lofgren, to find this Loki variant, right? Y la encontramos y se llama Sylvie, and it's a girl, and she's trying to destroy the TVA. You know, it's a whole thing, you know? You watch the show, you know what's up. Ahora, why do I believe Alaska Young is a Loki variant? That's very out there. I know, it's kind of crazy, but hear me out. Okay, primero lo primero. Loki y Alaska share a lot of very, como que, personality traits. Both are like mischief and doing pranks. Both of them are charming and intelligent, unpredictable and spontaneous. Both are very hedonistic and like pleasure and having fun. Both of them have a difficult relationship with their fathers, and both of them love their mothers, but have kind of like indirectly caused their deaths in some way or capacity. Ajá, esas son algunas similitudes entre Loki y Alaska. Y también hay como que muchas cosas que dice Loki que I feel like they apply to Alaska. Por ejemplo, voy a leerte algunos de los quotes de Loki en Marvel that kind of feel very Alaska Young-esque. Y dicen así, I am burdened with glorious purpose. You ridiculous bureaucrats will not dictate how my story ends. Love is a dagger. It's a weapon to be wielded far away or up close. You can see yourself in it. It's beautiful until it makes you bleed. But ultimately, when you reach for it. So yeah, esos tres quotes. Can you truly tell me que cuando los escuchaste no pensaste en Alaska Young? These are very Alaska Young sentiments. Y también pasa the other way around. Algunos quotes que dice Alaska or people say about her que también apply to Loki. For example, sometimes you lose a battle, but mischief always wins the war. If people were rain, I was a drizzle, and she, Alaska, was a hurricane. How will I ever get out of this labyrinth? So what's the labyrinth? I asked her. That's the mystery, isn't it? Is the labyrinth living or dying? Which is he trying to escape? The world or the end of it? It's not life or death, the labyrinth. Okay, so what is it? Suffering, she said. Doing wrong and having wrong things happen to you. Me van a decir que esos quotes de Alaska don't sound very low-key, huh? También, una Mobius, el agente que está encargado de, you know, manage Loki in the TVA, porque durante el show como que tratan mucho, como que responder a la pregunta de que, okay, what makes a Loki, como que, porque hay tantas variantes de Loki, and they're all so different, and you are kind of wondering, okay, what's the unifying factor that makes all of them, even though they're different people with different experiences and different things, what makes all of them a Loki? What's the unifying factor of all of them? Y una cosa que dice Mobius is that, oh, you Lokis, you guys wreak chaos and havoc, but the chaos and havoc that you wreak helps other people reach their full potential and become heroes. This is not a direct quote. This is just me paraphrasing. Se aplica a Loki porque él, su wreak havoc es lo que unió a los Avengers and made the team solidified. Y con Alaska, it also kind of applies porque, okay, en el libro, even though she's not like the sole reason Miles changes and transforms, because she's not a manic pixie dream girl, she's not the sole creator of this, but she does play an impact in Miles. She does help him get out of his shell and stuff. Y también, sé que no estamos en el episodio sobre la serie, pero en la serie vemos que también ella fue quien básicamente reclutó al coronel. She was the one who gave him the nickname. She's the one who taught him how to do pranks. She's the one that taught him the ropes and social rules of the high school. So yeah, she also uses her chaos to help people reach their potential. Okay, y tal vez algo que te estés pensando es como que Laura, pero Alaska doesn't have magic, and Loki has magic. He is the god of mischief. And okay, to that I answer, there's an alligator Loki. There's a Loki that's literally just an alligator, and that's it. So I'm pretty sure there can be a Loki variant with no magic. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff happening. Are you telling me that in the vast universe and multiverses that there are, there's not a single Loki that doesn't have magic? Would that be that crazy and insane? I'm just wondering. Así que sí, esa es mi teoría that Alaska Young is a Loki variant. Is it crazy? Probably. It is crazy and highly debunkable, I know. But I still think it's a fun theory. Y solamente tenemos la primera temporada de Loki, so maybe as the seasons went on, maybe that will solidify or destroy my theory. But I still had a lot of fun, and I think it's una teoría para reflexionar, and you know, I think it's kind of fun to think about it. Okay, y para concluir este episodio, vamos a leer otro quote. Este quote me gusta mucho. Es un quote de mucha reflexión, así que cuando se lo lea, maybe reflect on it, because it's one of those hard truths that sometimes it's good to meditate on. De hecho, este quote lo sugirió Sarah Green, la esposa de John Green, y él lo puso en el libro. Y dice así, imagining the future is a kind of nostalgia. You spend your life stuck in the labyrinth, thinking about how you'll escape it one day, and how awesome it will be, and imagining that future keeps you going, but you never do it. You just use the future to escape the present. Dime que eso no te golpeó in the gut right there. Okay, este fue el episodio Looking for Alaska by John Green. Si te gustó este episodio, suscríbanse al podcast, dejen un review. En la descripción están mis redes sociales. Compártanlo con sus amigos y tense atentos porque we're gonna bring a lot more John Green content and it's gonna be a lot of fun. Así que esténse pendientes para eso. Cuídense, pórtense bien, cómanse todos los vegetales y nos vemos hasta la próxima.